This week's a little bit different in what I'm going to do from what we've done recently. I'm up at Camp Adeline this week, and so sermon's a little bit different. Won't be on the Gospel of Mark. We've been reading the Bible through chronologically, and we happen to be in the book of Proverbs right now. And how I do that at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning is I'm listening to it on my phone. And then when I find one that strikes me, I pause and pray and talk about it with them. But Proverbs is a really unique book because it's just bang, 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 different. They're not all the same topic. So I tried to write a sermon that was kind of like that, that it was just going to be bang, 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 passages of scripture, and we'll have to see together how it works. So today is June 11th of 2023. I'm up at family camp, and I titled this message, What is Truth? And my outline, what does God's Word say about me? Number two, how would I renew my mind? Number three, how can I be transformed? So, what is truth? What are your thoughts? What is truth? What do you think? How would you define truth? If you had to put a definition to truth, how would you define it? I wrote down, truth is constant and it never changes, even though we live in a culture that they think truth is relevant and changeable, but the truth is the truth. And it's always supposed to be the same. Truth is a property or a fact of reality. I use the word property, but you could use the word part. Truth is a part of or of a fact of reality. When there's something in reality, there is a truth behind it. Truth is typically things that represent reality. Truth is something that relates to reality. If you look in the NIV Reader's Version of John 18:38, it's the story of Jesus and Pontius Pilate. What is truth? Pilate asked. Then Pilate went out again to the Jews. He said, I find no basis for any charge against this man. That's the end of John 18. Pilate, the highest authority in all Israel at that time, Pilate declares Jesus is innocent of all the charges they brought against him. Therefore, Pilate is declaring Jesus is not guilty. And that's a part of the reality of Jesus being the spotless Lamb of God, that they could not find any charge against him. This is just before Jesus is murdered on the cross, and then just before he resurrected from the dead in 3 days. And here's what Jesus had to say about truth just 2 days before this. In John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is still going to happen. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach us truth. So we have a living, abiding Holy Spirit to help us see and understand truth. And we also are blessed with the Holy Spirit's written word that we call the Bible. So what is truth? What does God's word say about me? Have you ever done some study on what God says about a born-again believer? What do you think? John 1:12 says, some people did accept Jesus. They believed in Jesus' name. He gave them the right to become children of God. So some did accept Jesus, believed in him, and he gave them the right to become children of God. Believing in Jesus' name gives us the right to become children of God. So A on the outline that I wrote is, in Christ, I am a child of God. In Romans 5:10, once we were God's enemies, but we've been brought back to God because of Jesus, his son, has died for us. Now God has brought us back. We are even more secure. We know that we will be saved because Christ lives. So B on my outline, in Christ, we are being saved by Christ's life. So we're God's children, and we're being saved by Christ's life. And the Bible is teaching that salvation is an ongoing process, not a single event. And that is different than what I hear a lot of places. But salvation is not just a single event, it's a process. A human is conceived in a moment in time, and this is when their life begins. But there is an eternal process that follows that moment. Being born again spiritually is similar. When one trusts in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, at that moment they are made righteous and saved from eternal death. But their life goes on in a process throughout eternity. Christ is saving us on through eternity. In Romans 8:1, the Bible teaches those who belong to Jesus Christ are no longer under God's sentence of death. That's the end of that one. So see on your outline, I am in Christ. I am free from condemnation. And the Bible is teaching me that one is free from the eternal judgment of death. I am not under condemnation. In Romans 8:17, as his children, we will receive all that he has for us. We will share what Christ receives, but we must share in his sufferings if we want to share in his glory. That's the end of Romans 8. So D on my outline, in Christ, I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In Christ, I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All that Jesus received after his resurrection is now available to all born-again believers. The life we receive is the same life Jesus Christ has. In Romans 8:27, God looks into our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit prays for God's people just as God wants them to pray. That's the end of Romans 8. So E on my outline says, in Christ I am a saint. So in Christ I am a saint. I'm a saint. The Bible is saying that a born-again believer is a saint, no longer a sinner. That's good news. Romans 15:7, Christ has accepted you, so accept one another in order to bring praise to God. That's the end of Romans 15. F on my outline, in Christ I am accepted. In Christ I am accepted, so I'm not condemned, I am accepted. A born-again believer is totally accepted by the highest authority in all existence. Stop and think. If the highest authority in existence totally accepts you, what difference does it make whether a human accepts you or doesn't? In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That's the end of 2 Corinthians 5. G on my outline. In Christ, I am a new creature. In Christ, I am a new creature. So I'm accepted and I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. He's dead. He was crucified. All things are new. That's the truth. I'm a new creation when I become born again. The old me is dead. It was crucified with Christ. And all things are new. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, Christ didn't have any sin, but God made him to become sin for us, so we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. That's the end of 2 Corinthians 5. H on my outline, in Christ I am the righteousness of God. In Christ I am the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God. The Bible is teaching that God made us totally righteous before he could give us his life. Salvation comes after his righteousness. So he makes you righteous so that he can implant his life into you. The righteousness we receive is exactly the same righteousness that Christ has. When the Father looks at Jesus and I, he doesn't see any difference in the righteousness between the two of us. In Ephesians 1:5, so God decided long ago to adopt us as his children. He did it because of what Jesus Christ has done. It pleased God to do it. That's the end. So I, on my outline, in Christ, I am adopted as God's child. In Christ, I am adopted as God's child. A father chooses a child he wants to adopt. God chooses to adopt any born-again believer. When you have biological children, you really don't have much of a choice what comes out. But when you're adopting, you can look at the child and you can choose the one you want to adopt. And God chooses to adopt born-again believers. Ephesians 2:10 goes like this. God made us. He created us to belong to Christ Jesus. Now we can do good things. Long ago, God prepared them for us to do. That's the end of Ephesians 2. J on your outline. In Christ, I am God's workmanship, created for good works. So, in Christ, I am God's workmanship, created for good works. God created believers for good works of worship, of prayer, of surrender, of sacrifice, of humility, and I could go on. But the things he has for us in good works are not necessarily physical doing works. They are good works integrated and involved with his spirit and our spirit. From those activities, there are sometimes that physical works come out. But when it talks about good works here, it's not about doing a good thing for God. It's about worshiping him, praying to him, surrendering to him, sacrificing your life for him, being a humble servant to him. In Ephesians 2:19, it says this, so you are no longer strangers and outsiders. You are citizens together with God's people. You are a member of God's family. That's the end of Ephesians 2. So K on your outline, in Christ, I'm a member of God's household. In Christ, I'm a member of God's household. Born-again believers are born into a citizenship in heaven, born to eat at the Father's table. I was born a citizen of the United States of America. I am also born as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I have the right to eat at my Father's table on earth, and I have the right to eat at my Father's table in heaven when I get there. Colossians 2:10 says this, because you belong to Christ, you have everything you need. Jesus is the ruler over every power and authority. That's the end of Colossians 2. L on your outline. In Christ, I am complete, perfect. Believers have been given the grace and the gifts to do the will of God. Believers receive the gift of being as perfect as our brother, Jesus Christ. We are complete. We are perfect. When we were born again, we are made as perfect as Jesus is. Colossians 2:13 says this, at one time you were dead in your sins, but God gave you a new life together with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. M on your outline, in Christ I am alive and forgiven of all my transgressions. In Christ I'm alive. I'm forgiven of all my transgressions. I was dead, but now I have life. I was a sinner, but now all that's gone. It's dead, buried, rotten. This list is not complete. There are many more provisions that I could have given to the one who becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. What the Bible says about a believer is the truest thing about them. When one believes or trusts and receives truth into their life, it becomes a reality. When you believe it, receive it, accept it, it becomes real. So, my outline, what's truth? We looked at number one, what does God's word say about me? Number two, how would I renew my mind? Obviously, these thoughts are different than many of the thoughts we have. Renewing my mind brings about transformation. Changing the thoughts in one's mind from deception to truth is renewing one's mind. So we were deceived. Once we see the truth and we choose the truth, that will transform our lives. Romans 12:2 goes like this. Do not live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants you to do. You will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's the end of Romans 12:2. How would I renew my mind, you may ask? Glad you did. Number one, I would read one of these verses in its context, and I would repeat this process until it's true in your mind. So take any of these verses that I gave you, any of those concepts of being in Christ, read one of them, read it out of the Bible in its context, and then repeat that until it becomes real and you believe it in your mind. So how would I renew my mind? A second idea, tell God that I believe, I adhere to, I trust in, I rely on what he says about me is true. So after you get it to where you believe it in your mind, then you continually tell God, I believe it. I trust in it. I rely on it. I'll adhere to that. What you tell about me is really the truth. So how would I renew my mind? Here's a third idea. I respond to God in prayer by thanking him for what he did. So then I would respond to God in prayer, thanking him. It's like I receive his gift and then I thank him for it. That just seems natural, doesn't it? After you receive this gift of truth, you thank him for it. I would pray maybe something like this. Father, I believe you when your word says that I'm a saint. I may not feel like one, but that's what you say and you call me, so I believe it. Thank you, sir. And I took that from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So how would I renew my mind? Here's my fourth idea. I realize, I recognize, I understand what this verse teaches me about God, and I praise them for who they are. So I put them and they in this one, because there is a three of them, and I wanted to give all three of them credit. I recognize and understand what this verse teaches me about God. And I praise all three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for what they have done and who they are. So, how would I renew my mind? Here's idea number five. I reject my old view of myself, including no longer calling myself names like dummy or failure or stupid or idiot or loser. If you grew up in my German home, Dummkopf. Also, I would stop seeing myself as a sinner or as an alcoholic or as lazy or as a fornicator. And I took all of those from 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. So, how would I renew my mind? Here's idea number six. I rejoice that my mind is being renewed each time I choose the truth. I rejoice that my mind is being renewed each time I choose the truth. I have idea number seven. I receive direction from the Holy Spirit for today as a result. Excuse me. I receive direction from the Holy Spirit for today as a result of believing this verse. And one would pray something like this. Lord, I see what you've done and who you are. Now, what do you want me to do regarding or responding to this truth we looked at today? So, we looked at what does God say about me? What would I do to renew my mind? And my last point, how can I be transformed? First of all, A in my outline, I have a heart to seek God's face. The first way you would be transformed is to have a heart to seek God's face. Not his hand, not a handout, but him. A personal relationship with him. I wouldn't look for what I could get from him or ask for him what I need. The first thing I would do is have a heart to seek his face, to know him. B on my outline, I surrender my free will to the will of God. I surrender my free will to the will of God. Surrender. When I surrender my will to his perfect will, we become one. Jesus put it in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we surrender our will to his so that his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. C on my outline, I trust, I believe, I accept what God brings into my life. Whatever happens next is a process that God, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we all experience that as one. So whatever happens, I accept it and I trust it and walk through it with those guys. So here's my conclusion. Discovering God's truth is always a wonderful experience. Believing God's truth is the path to light. Walking in obedience of God's truth is a process. So you discover it, that's wonderful. You believe it, that shows you the light. And walking in obedience to that truth, that's a process, something you work out. So walking is it's simple. Learning to walk is challenging. In time, walking becomes an unconscious reality. And that's the illustration of this message. You see, walking is a simple process. But when you're learning to walk, that's challenging. But in time, you don't really even think about left, right, left, right. It's just unconsciously you do it. That's the illustration of this message. Walking in God's truth is simple. It's a simple thing. Learning to walk in God's truth, that's challenging. In time, walking in God's truth becomes an unconscious reality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being so kind and generous to give us an opportunity to look into the Holy Word that your Holy Spirit has written and discover these things that you've said about us. Now I pray that we would take this process and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up.
Jesus, he's love strong and his grace is free.
am I guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up.